You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. September's almost gone, man. How about that? 24th day of September. Hope you had a good weekend. I'm a big fan of the fall. Hot weather gets out of here. Yeah, that's nice. Anyhow, I was adjusting the volume in my headset, because if that ain't right, nothing happens, okay? Yeah, you can't even talk. If what goes coming into your head isn't right. I don't know why it works like that, but it just does. Yeah, if it's not coming into your head right, I have to stop. And God forbid there's an echo. Sometimes when you're doing live radio and you feed a studio, you're doing that, and they don't have it, the board configured right that the audio comes into. So what they're doing is you're feeding them their voice, your voice, right, from some remote location. It comes in via a channel, and there's a lot of different ways you could do it. Sometimes you do it by cell phone. Other times you do it kind of by UHF. Yeah, direct shot to the studio if you're close enough. Radio to radio. Called the Marty. And then sometimes you can use, for lack of a better term, kind of a fax machine for your voice. Yeah, you hook up the fax machine. It syncs with another fax machine. Data connection. Now, so what you're supposed to get back is commercials, phone calls, things like that. When they screw that up and they send you your voice back, there's about a half a second delay. So you say good morning, and then so you hear it in your headset because it comes out of your microphone. If they feed it back to you, Yeah, I can't do it. I have to stop. I can't. Can't do this. Sorry. Would love to, but cannot. So, anyway. So, what comes into your head has to be right. So, anyway. As I said, good morning on a Monday. Big day in our house. Having a big team building event tonight for the volleyball team. Volleyball team, the junior varsity volleyball team went up to Bellflower. Bellflower is just inland from Long Beach. Yeah, you're in the legit part of Los Angeles County. All right. So there's some famous high schools. So I go up to watch Colleen play. There's some famous high schools. And if you've been around Los Angeles, you know their names because you hear them. And a lot of it is to do with athletics, right? So I walk in and I'm watching two teams play. And one of them's unbelievable. And I look, I'm like, so now it's like, who is that? And it has, and I'm sitting next to my daughter, Catherine. And I look, I'm like, ooh. She said, what? I said, that's Long Beach Wilson High School. I said, that's straight up legit. I think Snoop Dogg went there. Yeah, after he got booted out of Long Beach Poly. These girls could straight up rip it. I mean, they were junior varsity. Coach was, you could tell, was a good coach. One of the girls had to be close to 6 foot. And so I went up and introduced myself and was talking to the coach. And he said, yeah, the girl who's 6 foot, he said, she should be a varsity player. You know, she could be a hitter on our varsity team. But she wants to be a setter because she wants to play at really high levels. So she's down here to learn how to be a setter. But they could go. So Colleen's watching it. She kind of looks over. But you know what? Best they played. Best game they lost. Best games Colleen's team played all year. Interesting how that happens, isn't it? And I'd like to say that it's a good news story that the coach is like, said, hey, look, see what we just did? That is the best junior varsity volleyball team I've ever seen. One of them. And you were beating, at one point they were hit 11-9. And I think the final was 25-15 or something like that. And I'm sitting there watching it, right? My life as a leader, hopefully as a mentor. And you see this incredibly teachable moment. You think they seize on it? No. You just sit there and you shake your head. Babysitters. Because they don't get coaching. It's not about volleyball, boys. It's not about that, because the guys coaching were boys. It's not about volleyball. It's mentoring about hard work, self-discipline, and teamwork. So anyway, that's what I did on Saturday. Went and watched that. Spent the majority of it, my day doing that. And then I came home and did a little work on a book I'm writing. Boom. Yeah. So the book is going to be about post-traumatic wing. And so I sat down. Honestly, the book's already written. It's the things that get talked about here on a regular basis. So it's not like I have to write anything. All I have to do is put it down. Yeah, put it down like Pitbull puts down tracks. Yeah, and then it'll go Then I'll go global like Pitbull. I'll be fired up for that. So anywho, so I worked on that a little bit, and what else did I do? I don't know what else I did. Might have watched the Yankees at some point, and watched a little college football. Peeked in and out of Notre Dame. They played early during the volleyball tournament, though. So one of the great things of having TV on your phone, right? Colleen's playing volleyball. Notre Dame's playing football. It's all good, man. It is all good. So, and then yesterday, what did I do yesterday? Yesterday I did yard work. Yeah, Yeah. We're having the big, so we're having the team building event tonight. So what do I do? So I had to get out there and fire up a little yard work. So in the front yard, you know what I can't do? I'll share a little bit of my, this is me. I have a, you know, an edger, right? And it has that, it has a spool. I can't do the spool. The spool's too, like, it's too complicated for me. I've tried it, and it the stuff always gets tangled, and you got to put it in there. I can't do it. I can't do it. So what I do is I take that stuff you put in there, and I cut two pieces. I used to have the kind of weed whacker that you that you just put the sections in. You push the button, you slid it through, made sure it was, you know, equidistant from the center on each side. Boom. Takes about 2 seconds. Until you do that till it's chewed up, put a new one in. Easy as pie. Oh no, somebody thinks a spool is a good idea, and it's not. So anyway, if you're looking at weed whackers and edgers and stuff like that that use that twine stuff, don't get the spool. The spool is the devil. So I can't do the spool. So what I do is I cut a section, and then I take the cap off, I slip it through, and I tie it off. So the there's a knot on the inside of the hole. Put the cap back on, go out, and then when this thing gets chewed up, I got to go do it again. Now I found some twine that's like, yeah, it's like steel, so it never goes away. It's the best stuff I've ever found. So I had to do that I had to edge, right, and do that. I do a little weed pulling, and then the front looked good. Cut some rose bushes. Backyard, weed whacking, weed pulling, pruning, and then sweeping, and mowing. So mowing both the front and the yard. So I did a fair amount of yard work yesterday, which was good because I had something in my head. I had something in my head that some family issues that I won't divulge here, but whenever I have like problems in my family, it helps me to clean or do yard work. Part of my therapy. So I did that yesterday, and then had dinner at my ex-wife's house. She and I and the kids. She made salmon. It was delicious. So that was my weekend. I'm trying to think anything else that I should report about my weekend. I think that's it. In the news this morning, the circus that surrounds Judge Kavanaugh's confirmation will continue this week. In case you were worried that it was going to go away and you were going to miss out on some of the stupidity. So, so the United States Senate will try to make heads or tails, some sense of an allegation by a woman who will come forward, then he will have his time. There's a second allegation that can't be evidently substantiated. The New York Times has tried, but have been unable evidently to substantiate a second one. So I was having a conversation with my daughter, Catherine, the 25-year-old, about this. And so she, I think, quite rightly, she says, you know, this is amazing to watch and blah, blah, blah. I said, okay, so let me ask you a question. You're innocent in this country till proven guilty. There is a threshold of evidence that you have to meet in order to prove this. This is not to shame her or even to come close to that. However, there is evidence that you have to put forward. She says, well, what are you trying to say? What I'm trying to say is Let me use Harvey Weinstein as an example. You know what Harvey Weinstein's going to say? He didn't force himself on any of these women. These women did this because they wanted to work in that industry, and they thought he could make that happen. And then he's going to say this. So who was using who? If they didn't want to have sex with me, all they had to say was no. I'm not a rapist. It's not like I don't have access to women. So the fact that they didn't say no, I never forced myself on any of these women. Ever. I looked at Catherine and I said, so when he goes to court and he says that, what's their response? And so the response would be that if they wanted to work in this industry, it's almost like a military situation. He has control over my career. If I say no, then I put my career at risk. Well, you could have gone and worked someplace else. Yeah, but I wanted to work here. I wanted to be a star. So the coercive element was your ambition combined with his advances. That's what created this. So again, there has to be more than an allegation to convict somebody. I mean, honestly, when you watch this stuff, who would want to serve in the government? You'd have to be crazy to go through this kind of shit to be confirmed. So it'll be interesting to watch. But it's an interesting discussion. So the whole Me Too thing, there's got to be more than an allegation. Now, when you look at some of the people, when there's allegation after allegation after allegation after allegation, after Bill Cosby, after Bill Cosby, after Les Moonves, you know, it's like, okay, so you have all these allegations. Something's amiss. Something's amiss. So look into it. What's the difference between Harvey Weinstein and Bill Cosby? Bill Cosby drugged women and then had sex with them. I think that's sexual assault. If Harvey Weinstein makes an advance and you don't feel you can say no because of your career, is that rape? Is that sexual assault? I guess, well, maybe in your mind you really didn't want to do it. Then you should have said no. So it'll be interesting to see. And so she and I had an interesting conversation about that. So the accusation, in retrospect, you didn't want to do it, but you never said no? Or did you say no and then he forced himself on you? That's a different case. So anyway, interesting discussions over the weekend. So the Brett Kavanaugh thing continues this week. President's going to be at the UN. Also, the president, I don't know if it was the White House, announced that they're not that far off with having a second summit with Mr. Kim. So I'm curious as to what is spawning the second summit. I'm interested to know. I am interested to know because my understanding was without some kind of tangible proof of movement from the North Koreans that there would be no second summit. So it'll be interesting. The other news, and this, it's odd to report story, right? And the story is came out of Iran over the weekend where they were having a Republican Guards parade, and gunmen, quote unquote gunmen, opened fire on the parade. Now, no, I think when you look at the state sponsors of terrorism around the world, Iran, right, I think is number one. And so when you see an event like that happening, especially to the unit that's engaged in the exportation of terrorism around the world, which is the Republican Guards, there's, I'm not going to lie to you, there's a part of me that says what goes around comes around. And what a blow for the Iranians. They're having, in a totalitarian state, they're having a parade, and somehow or other, during the parade, they get ambushed. What in God's name is going on? Right? And so, I saw that over the weekend. And I'd like to lie and say that that it didn't make me smile. But do you know how many Marines got killed by their by the IEDs that say they sent to Iraq? Lots. You know how many soldiers got killed? Lots. You know how many people got killed? Lots. And Iran continues to export their own brand of Islamic fundamentalism to destabilize the region. And so, interesting little event. The loss of civilian life is never, to me, is disgusting. I'm not sure how many were civilians in that case, but and for that, I certainly would never gloat. And I'm not gloating. I saw the story, and I thought, wow, you don't see that very much. You don't see dissent. And again, the Trump administration has made no bones about they would like to see regime change inside of Iran. Interesting. The other little riot that went on last week was in Basra over government services. So we're going to talk about that here as we talk about the news. Let me tell you what we're going to do on the show today. If you never heard of the book Tribes by Sebastian Younger, it ties into mental health. Sebastian Younger writes a book called Tribes. I did an interview with him in 2016, right after the program started. So you're going to hear that again today. And so, we'll hear that again today. But again, the premise of Tribes is that certain cultures have a lower incidence of PTSD because of the way that they accept their warriors back in, that their warriors aren't really a separate part of the tribe, that they're completely integrated throughout. And his observation that, yeah, we don't really do it like that. So you'll hear that interview again. I'm curious to listen to it, the whole thing again. See, you know, because again, for me anyway, I don't know about you, but for me, as my understanding of all these things kind of changes, hopefully grows, I hear different things. I hear different things. So I'm kind of curious myself to listen to it. So with that said, we'll make the morning official. The United States Marine Corps Band from 8th and I in Washington, D.C., the Marine Barracks, where Marines last week gallantly ran across the street into a burning building and rescued a bunch of people that were inside that building. So, well done, boys and girls. It's dedicated to them. somebody sent me an email and said, hey, Mac, what do you think of that Rod Rosenstein stuff? My own opinion, somebody planted that story to get the president to fire him, or at least give him the premise to fire him. I would say this about Rod Rosenstein. If you think that guys like that make off-the-cuff statements with people standing around, then I think you're a bit naive. So I'm not, the New York Times ran the story, which I don't know. I think the way journalism that is now, the best, you know, you can roll your eyes at it. But I don't know Rod Rosenstein. I do know the Secretary of Defense, and I do know the Chief of Staff of the White House. I do know the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. I do know the Commandant of the Marine Corps. And I will tell you this, they are pretty careful about what they say. They are pretty careful about what they say. Rod Rosenstein, the issues he was dealing with, to me, I have a hard time believing it, that those words came out of his mouth. Does that mean that they didn't? Nope. Have a hard time believing it, though. All right. Because what you're talking about is somebody's trying to overthrow the government of the United States. The elected president of the United States, that these people have judged that they should take matters into their own hands. Now, I know the response is going to be, Mac, have you not read those text messages? The whole deep state thing? I don't really buy the black helicopter, okay? And I know a lot of times that puts me in the minority, but I don't particularly buy it. This is dedicated to the same Marines that ran into that same building. Good on you. And if I could get my shit together and throw the right lever, it would actually work.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah. You know, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain. It's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose. So you want to keep them in the cage.
Can you imagine, were you a Vietnam veteran and you came home and they told you to take your uniform off and don't talk about it and just forget about it?
I can't even imagine. I have so much respect for those guys.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Neller, Commandant of the Marine Corps type. We'll check the weather right now around Marineland. We'll take a break. We'll come back and check news headlines. There's some interesting stuff in the news today. By the by. Currently raining, 66 in Quantico. Clouds and 74 at Camp Lejeune. Clouds and 72 in Granbury. Mostly cloudy, 47 in Montana. Sunny in 74 and 29 Palms. Clouds and 66 at Pendleton. Cloudy, dark, and 80 in Okinawa with three storm warnings in effect, three weather warnings. Afghanistan has cooled down in the Helmand Province. It is 82 degrees under clear skies early in the evening there. Approximately 7:03 p.m. At the home of All Marine Radio, the Costa Mesa Newport Beach area, Southern California, clouds and 66 degrees. Looking for a high of 73. Book it. 76 tomorrow and 79 on Wednesday. All right, we'll take a quick break. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in the crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
It'll be kind of like being a pilot. You'll come out of college and you want a cyber guarantee. And we'll give you a cyber guarantee.
Great.
And then if you make it through the school, then you'll get qualified and that's what you'll go do. If you don't, then we'll
room in the garage.
Make you an infantry officer.
Worked okay for you and
worked
me.
Out for so. You. Of course, everyone knows that the most intelligent, handsome people on the earth are infantry officers.
As this would convey.
Exhibit A and B.
That's right.
John Allen and Robert Neller discussing the handsome and intelligent nature of infantry officers.
Letting go of all hope and self-image of this heartbreak. I wanna drive fast till I break down in nowhere so I can finally cry.
This song is about winning in spite of its title, Hurt. To the news we go. Let's see. 100 years ago, the U.S. fought its deadliest battle in France. The pictures that you see from World War One they look like something off another planet. I mean, the artillery barrages that these guys went through as they lived in trenches, as they lived underground. Then you see these, you know, big machine guns, as machine guns were pretty heavy devices back then, on their tripods, and you just see this desolate world that they lived in. It was America's deadliest battle ever with 26,000. Okay, we have deadliest battles, we have deadliest days. Deadliest battle ever with 26,000 U.S. soldiers killed, tens of thousands wounded, and more ammunition fired than in the whole of the Civil War. The Meuse-Argonne Offensive, my grandfather fought in it, in 1918 was also a great American victory that helped bring an end to World War I. 100 years ago. Pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. My grandfather showed up in the United States, I want to say 1914. 1917, he was back in Europe fighting for the United States. John, no middle initial, McNamara. Yep. Company D, something like the 130th Engineer Battalion. And they did combat engineering in the Meuse-Argonne. Yeah, I have his ribbons. He has all the big ones. Yeah, and then was gassed, was wounded, and his Purple Heart. In fact, his Purple Heart has his name inscribed on it. About that, yeah, back in the day. So anyway, 100 years ago, 100 years ago. Well, the battle did not go for a day, but this time of year, the Rand Corporation released a study late last week, right, and it assessed sexual assault risk at different installations in the DOD. So you're seeing a variety of headlines. Here are the bases where troops are most at risk. They break it down by services. Okay. The study is based on 2014 data that was gathered through more than 170,000 surveys of active duty service members collected by the RAND Corporation. Because of the 5-year time lag, defense officials said the rankings do not reflect what the most dangerous bases are today. The study faces other limitations, too, such as that assaults reported that were linked to a base could have occurred off base or off ship, such as while on liberty and leave, but the information is still jarring nonetheless. I'll give you a sample for it. The Navy. The risk of sexual assault was highest for men and women aboard Navy ships. For men, all but one of the Navy's highest risk installations are ships or clusters of ships, including 5 aircraft carriers. For women, of the 15 installations with the highest risk for women, 13 are ships or clusters of ships, including 8 of the 10 aircraft carriers. In one stunning example, Rand found that on one of these ships, we estimated that close to 1 in every 25 men was sexually assaulted in fiscal year 2014. What? But they don't name the ship, citing their desire to maintain anonymity. The Army. Fort Drum in upstate New York is one of the most dangerous places for both Army men and women in terms of sexual assault. For Army women, the top 5 locations in terms of risk of sexual assault include Fort Huachuca in Arizona, Osan Air Base in Korea, Fort Drum in New York, Okinawa, Japan, and Fort Riley, Kansas. For men, the top 5 locations with the highest risk were located in Italy, at Fort Myers in Virginia, Fort Benning in Georgia, Fort Drum, New York, and the Rose Barracks in Germany. So, again, we talked about surveys before. The devil in surveys is in the footnotes, right? And this study doesn't seem to have enough footnotes to help the DOD take this data and make a whole lot of sense with it. For the Air Force, undergraduate pilot training bases were among the most dangerous places for both Air Force men and women for risk of sexual assault. Okay, so what would be the trends? The trends would be younger and more remote bases have a higher rate of incidents. Should that surprise us? Is that anything that raises our eyebrows? So more remote and younger. For women, the top 5 installations in terms of risk were Vance Air Force Base in Oklahoma, Laughlin Air Force Base in Texas, Altus Air Force Base in Oklahoma, Columbus Air Force Base in Mississippi, Goodfellow Air Force Base in Texas. For men, top 5 installations of risk were Altus, Laughlin in Nevada, Anacostia Bowling in D.C., Luke Air Force Base is in Arizona, and Columbus Air Force Base. In the Marine Corps, the Marine Air Ground Combat Center in 29 Palms, again, younger, remote, was one of the top five most dangerous places for men and women for risk of sexual assault. Responses for male Marines showed that other risky locations to be assigned included Japan, Korea, and Afghanistan. For females, the Marine Corps Air Station Yuma, remote, right? Buford, not so remote. New River, and 3rd Marine Logistics Group were reported to have the highest risk of sexual assault. In a statement, this is kind of interesting, Marines said that more research is needed to understand whether increased risk is really tied to an installation. Quote, the RAND study documented a difference in sexual assault risk across installations. The reason for the variations in the levels of risk is not highlighted in this report, said Major Craig Thomas. I'm going to see if we can track down Craig Thomas. There are many possible causes for differences, such as command climate, alcohol availability and price, crime rates in the surrounding civilian communities, or the transitory presence of one or more sexual offenders. Although the current study cannot identify the relationship between risk factors and risk estimates, additional research may help answer these questions. Working to reduce risk. Okay, a doctor by the name of Galbraith, who's named previously in the study that I didn't read, said that now the DoD has the data, it will be able to look for installations where additional steps can be taken to reduce the risk of sexual assault. For example, around 2015 at the Great Lakes Naval Base near Chicago, DoD noticed a spike in sexual assault reports, decided to take a closer look. What the Navy found is that locally there on the weekends, all of the recruits were going off base and having hotel parties. Wait a minute, recruits get to go off base on the weekends? Your Navy. And a lot of these hotel parties involved alcohol. There's a shocker. And a lot of those situations ended up with sailors getting sexually assaulted. There's another shocker. The Navy got together with hotel owners, Galbraith told them, if you have a bunch of sailors having a party, give us a call. We'll be there. We'll break it up. We'll haul everybody back to base. With that said, and training initiatives, Galbraith said, the numbers started to improve. So you will read more. You'll hear more about this study in the coming days. But, you know, the RAND Corporation is renowned for their research and as a think tank. I don't know if that's some of their best work, though. This is a commentary piece in Navy Times. Do what's right for Blue Water Navy Vietnam veterans. The Blue Water Navy Vietnam Veterans Act of 2017 is currently languishing in the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee as a result, vital funding and benefits that impact the lives and livelihoods of veterans now hangs in the balance. Okay, so you might be asking, what is the Blue Water Act for Vietnam veterans? The bill, which passed the House, would provide medical coverage to sailors who were exposed to the herbicide Agent Orange during the Vietnam War, appears to have some skeptics on the committee. They seem swayed by the Department of Veterans Affairs' thin arguments that because record keeping wasn't good during the Vietnam War, there's no reason to provide veterans with this necessary treatment. Nearly 90,000 veterans would be covered by H.R. 299, according to Military Times. That's tens of thousands of veterans who were once the picture of health, who now find themselves battling cancer as well as nerve, digestive, skin, and respiratory disorders. To add insult to injury, because the VA and Congress refused to act, they're getting stuck with paying the bills. Does that make you angry? It's kind of pissing me off. Yeah, so Agent Orange got loaded on to ships that not only resupplied aircraft carriers so that they could load it in the aircraft, that sprayed it on that flew off aircraft carriers. There you have it. Two, Chinese hospital ship stops in turbulent Venezuela. The Chinese extending their tentacles. Did you see the story last week that, was it the former head of Google? Said that at some point in the future there will be two internets. One controlled by China and another controlled by, the democratic nations of the world. China's going to control the flow of information to its citizens, which again, is something that's fundamental to totalitarianism, right? So a friend of mine, another parent on the volleyball team, he's sitting next to me. He's at the volleyball game. He's a Cub fan. And he's kind of a hummingbird parent. Come on, you can do it. Let's try hard. Come on, girls. I'm like, dude, you need to shut up if you're going to sit next to me, okay? I can't take this all day. And he thinks I'm joking, and he laughs, right? I'm looking at him like, I'm not joking. Why do you do this to me? So anyway, he's in the apparel business, does business in China. He goes, you should see it. You go over there now, your phone goes dark. YouTube, no. You know, most of the sites that you would visit as an American, no. He said it's like medieval when you go in there, and that's how they control the population. He said most Americans are so clueless. He said because they don't travel, and he said the other thing is the disparity in China. At some point they're going to have a civil war. He said he said we used to manufacture, we still do. He said we have companies that manufacture our products there because the labor's so cheap. And so you're there and you're working and you look around and you see what's going on. And and you'll be talking to guys that work there and say, man, there's a lot of expensive cars around here. And they're like, yeah, get in the car and drive 15 minutes down that road and tell us what you find. And he says, what am I going to find? Like, you're going to go back two centuries, man. And so, anyway, but, doesn't stop the Chinese from exporting. So their Navy hospital ship. Dock near Venezuela. Number three, sexual assault. Here are the bases where troops are at most risk. Number four, Trump signs the largest VA budget ever. You know, I'm a bit of a skeptic when it comes to this stuff. You know, so what's going to happen? What's going to happen? In kind of writing my book that I have to find a publisher for. You know, one of the things that I say about, somebody asked me, well, what are you going to say if some therapist or psychiatrist gets up in the middle of your presentation and takes you to task? My response was this, what am I going to say to them? I'm going to say, I don't give a fuck what you think. The next person that walks up to me and says, you know what, I had a great experience with VA mental health, that those drugs helped me so much. And I'm and that group therapy was awesome. Will be the first time that ever happens to me. Okay? Simply has never happened to me. So you've had your turn, right? We bought all your bullshit. Sit down and go away. Nice. So now we're gonna throw more money at the problem. You got to clean out the VA. Okay. President Donald Trump signed the Department of Veterans Affairs fiscal 2019 budget into law on Friday, giving the department a funding boost of more than 6% and pushing the agency's total spending to over $200 billion for the first time. The bill includes $1.1 billion for the start of a VA electronic health records overhaul and a $400 million for opioid abuse prevention within the department, both efforts touted by Trump in the past. The final deal also includes $1.75 billion increase in money tied to the VA Mission Act passed at the start of last summer. The legislation will rewrite the department's community care programs, expanding veterans' ability to access private health care at taxpayer coverage. Whoa, sounds like privatization to me. And number five, former Special Forces medic to receive Medal of Honor for Valor in Afghanistan. 10 years ago. So that would be, what, 2008. So congratulations. Congratulations. A few more stories, and then you'll hear Sebastian Younger today. Significance of attack on military parade in Iran. This comes from Reuters. Kind of surprising. A deadly assault on an Iranian Revolutionary Guards parade dealt a stunning blow to Iran's security establishment, which has often said it can repel any threat, no matter how big, even from the United States and its chief Middle East ally, Israel. Saturday's shooting attack, among the worst ever on the Republican Guards, illustrated that Iran's elite force, which answers directly to Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, can be vulnerable to guerrilla-style operations. Iran has enjoyed relative stability compared to Arab neighbors who have grappled with political and economic upheaval touched off by popular uprising in 2011. The Guards have vowed to retaliate for the attack. Next section. Who's responsible? Iran blamed the United States and its Gulf Arab neighbors for the bloodshed, but it has presented no evidence. An Iranian ethnic Arab opposition movement called the Avez National Resistance, which seeks a separate state in oil-rich Khuzestan, in the Khuzestan province, claimed responsibility for the attack. So did the Islamic State, who claimed responsibility for a 2017 attack at the Iranian parliament and the mausoleum of Ayatollah Khomeini, the founder of the Islamic Republic, which left 18 dead. Neither group presented any evidence. The city of Avez, where the attack took place, is the capital of Khuzestan, a region bordering Iraq, where the majority of Iran's Arab minorities live. The community has long felt neglected by the Persian-dominated central government in Tehran. So, interesting. You know, I think that most of the people I know, I just deleted the cyber attack. Darkest hour. Hold on. Here's an interesting story. Romanian cyber attack targeted security cameras ahead of the inauguration. A Romanian woman pleaded guilty in connection with a cyber attack against the D.C. Police Department that disabled two-thirds of the outdoor surveillance cameras operated by the Metropolitan Police Department just days before the 2017 inauguration. Eveline Sismarnu, a Romanian citizen, pleaded guilty Thursday to federal charges related to her role in the cyber attack. The computer intrusion was used to execute a ransomware attack, according to the Secret Service. The 126 infected computers were locked and displayed instructions to pay in Bitcoin in order to unlock the affected machines, which were connected to the cameras. The ransom to unlock all the computers would have totaled $60,800. Smar and her co-conspirator, Mihai Alexandru Isbetnia, were in the process of attacking as many as 170,000 other computers using stolen emails, email passwords, and banking credentials, according to the Secret Service. Federal agencies, including the Secret Service, use MPD's camera network to provide surveillance and security during the National Metropolitan Police Department. Pretty amazing, right? Pretty amazing. As I said, you know, if on your list of priorities is not cybersecurity, yeah, you'd be doing something wrong. All right, one more story, and this is all the way down at the bottom under analysis. This is from foreignpolicy.com. The coming crime wars. Future conflicts will mostly be waged by drug cartels, mafia groups, gangs, and terrorists. It is time to rethink our rules of engagement. Stories by Robert Mugha, M-U-G-G-A-H, and John P. Sullivan. Why do I think the P stands for Patrick? Not exactly sure. And you need no greater example than Mexico. I'll just read you the first paragraph. Wars are on the rebound. There are twice as many civil conflicts today, for example, as there were in 2001. And the number of non-state armed groups participating in the bloodshed is multiplying. According to the International Committee of the Red Cross, roughly half of today's wars involve between 3 and 9 opposing groups. Just over 20% involve more than 10 competing groups. In a handful, including ongoing conflicts in Libya and Syria, hundreds of armed groups vie for control. For the most part, these warring factions are themselves highly fragmented, and today's warriors are just as likely to be affiliated with drug cartels, mafia groups, criminal gangs, militias, and terrorist organizations as with armies or organized rebel factions. So, anyway, so the thesis is we have to rethink our rules of engagement, just as we did when I remember, I don't know, probably in the 90s, you know, you kept hearing the future of war is going to be stateless organizations like Hezbollah, like Hamas. They're not nation states. ISIS is an example of one, until they took over land and said, yeah, we're going to start our own country. So, anyway, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, you'll hear Sebastian Younger. And you'll hear him talking about his book. The book is called Tribes. And I'll do a little, I'll kind of introduce you to the book before we get going. So, more of All Marine Radio on a Monday coming up next.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nilsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nilsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nelson at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
More than 2 million Americans have served in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the Department of Veterans Affairs reports that approximately 11 to 20% of those warriors may have experienced symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. As we recognize PTSD Awareness Month, Real Warriors Campaign volunteer Meg Mitchum, a former Army combat medic who served in Iraq, encourages fellow warriors to reach out when they need help.
The hardest step was admitting that I needed help coping with PTSD. Once I did, my command and unit fully supported me, and I was able to get the care I needed. Getting support helped me succeed in the military and now in my civilian career.
If you or a loved one is coping with an invisible wound, resources are available and they work. For more information, visit the Real Warriors campaign at realwarriors.net or call 866-966-1020.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.